Have you ever wondered how to make sense out of your messy life or how to live in peace in the middle of a stressful world? My name is Jamie Norton, and I want to welcome you to the Making Peace and Beyond podcast. In almost 50 years as a counselor, I have seen a lot of life happen, and this podcast is going to cover all of it. So thanks for joining us while we explore life's struggles and how to live in the peace, joy, and freedom that Christ died to give us. Today, my guest is Ann Stotts, a very dear friend of mine, and we're going to talk about a really difficult subject of end-of-life experiences and facing our own mortality. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Jamie. It's good to be here. So I was diagnosed in March with cholangiocarcinoma, which is a long word that I never heard before.
Me either.
Ever. And it is bile duct cancer, basically. And it is very rare. It's very aggressive. It typically affects people who are in their late 70s. I'm 56, so I was a little young for it. And by the time I was diagnosed, because the symptoms look similar to a lot of other things, they look similar to indigestion or anxiety symptoms, things like that. By the time I was diagnosed, it was already stage four. So it was a huge surprise when I was in the emergency room and they came in and said, this is what you have going on.
What was that like? I mean, what do you remember your first response?
You know, it was really interesting because my husband is in a wheelchair, so he was not with me. I had driven myself to the ER. My doctor had said, your blood work looks wonky. You need to go in. So I was all by myself. And that wasn't a bad thing, I decided later. Mm. You would think you would want people with you, but I didn't have to manage anybody's emotions. The doctor came in and he took my hand and he said, cholangiocarcinoma. And I said, you mean like cancer? Because the only word I knew out of all of that was carcinoma. And he said, yes. And I said, like cancer. You mean cancer? And I said it like three times. And I'm sure he was like, yeah, that's what we're saying here. So then he left. And about an hour later, another doctor came in and she said, here's what this looks like. This is a bad cancer. And I said, well, by bad, what do you mean? Because I don't know that there's any good cancer out there, And she said, the survival rate is very low. So it's less than 1% within 5 years. And that's if you have treatment. So she said, and I said, so is there any point in me getting treatment? And I'm grasping right now. I've only known this for like an hour. And she said, oh yeah, you should go ahead and try, but the treatment's going to be pretty brutal and the cancer is going to be pretty brutal. You just need to be prepared for that. So I called my husband and I have two daughters who are grown and called my parents. And those were all very difficult phone calls to make, but I really felt... And God is the only explanation for this. I really felt a lot of peace at the time. I did not cry. I didn't panic. I was shocked. In fact, I might have been in shock, but I really felt God with me during those early conversations. And then even the next day when oncology came in and palliative care came in, and I was like, why do we need palliative care? Because I had that confused with hospice, and they were like, oh no, it's not the same. It's, but if you are facing a really serious illness, we need you to have that extra support. So God was with me that whole time and has been with me that whole time.
I remember when I found out, because we've been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And I remember finding out and thinking, No, not Anne. Anne is so full of life. She's a great teacher. I mean, she's a great human being,
Thank you.
And I remember right away we made an appointment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
I was out of town when you found out. Mm-hmm. And As soon as I got back, we made an appointment, and I just remember just being absolutely amazed and awed at the strength of your faith and your attitude. And then we started talking, and we were like, oh, wow, there's a lot of commonalities in where you are and where I am. We got there differently. Mm-hmm. I got there moment by moment by moment over a long number of years, like a whole bunch of years. But I think the commonality is that neither one of us know. We're both short timers,
yes,
in a way. I mean, we know that time is limited, and we don't know how long that time's going to be. But what we do know is that there's some common elements to facing your own mortality,
yes,
and how that looks. And we got to the point where we were kind of laughing at ourselves,
which is good. You got to laugh.
Yeah, we got to laugh.
You know,
and realizing that. You know, this, you know, maybe we wanted to just talk about it on a podcast.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to you, do you want to put it on a podcast? And you said, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Why
you know?
Not?
Because I think it is a subject I've noticed from people's reactions to me. Some people are very comfortable discussing it. Some people, I have family members who I have barely heard from.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much.
And they don't know what to say.
They don't know what to say.
And denial of death. You know, in the 70s, there was a book called by Ernest Becker called Denial of Death. And it was a big book on how we all orchestrate our denial of the end of life, that this is a finite thing, and how that looks. And some people do it with work and building empires and money, and some do it with relational life. But we all tend to, I think the basic denial of life is, put it out there somewhere. Yes, I know I'm going to die, but it's not today.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
not even in the next decades.
Right.
I mean, it's like a long time. It's relegated to people like me who are obviously going to be short-termers.
And we think we have way more control over that timeline.
Yes, we do.
Than we actually do.
And I think there's something peaceful and soft about really saying, no, you know, this is not that far off. You know?
I agree.
And certainly faith is a huge issue when it comes to that, that, you know, Jesus did conquer death. You know, there is something in it. I mean, it's interesting when you look at the brain, you can do an electrode and get sensation and movement and emotion and you know, memory, but you cannot get abstract thinking, and you cannot get free will.
Isn't that interesting?
Our soul is beyond our brain. Mm-hmm. We do not live inside our brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to really realize there's a part of us that, because it's not material, cannot die.
Right.
You know, how we want to face that, well, we will look at it. But to me, it's very comforting to know that my soul is in good hands.
Yes.
You know, my soul is there. So it's really amazing how few people will even embrace. There's only about 40% of people in this world who have a will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're just like such denial.
You don't want to admit that it's out there.
I had a friend a long time ago, and she was probably in her 30s somewhere. And she was terminally ill, and she called me one day and said, would you come over and talk to me? My family won't talk about it, and I'm scared.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I have been really fortunate because my husband will talk about it. And he lets me kind of take the lead. There's times where I've brought up stuff that are heavy subjects. You know, like, do you have a preference? Like I said, he's in a wheelchair, so his mobility is a little bit of an issue. You know, do you have a preference? What cemetery? You know, because there might be one that's easier than another for you to get into. Do you have a preference on things with the funeral service? And he's been really good about answering the questions or saying, you know, whatever you think, or you tell me what you think. And those are hard conversations for him to have with me.
And yet they're such gifts because at the moment you need those conversations.
You do.
You're not equipped to really make those decisions.
Right. No, because I want to do what's easiest for him and for my children, you know, because I won't be here. So it's
yeah,
my part's easy.
It's like dying is easy. It's getting there that's hard.
Getting there is hard. That is true.
Yeah, I have a death box, and people think I'm really weird because I have a death box. It's very comforting to know that I've paid for my funeral. I've written mm-hmm. my service. I've got all my papers and I go through it with my daughter and say, is there anything that you need that's not in here?
Right.
You know, I mean, we thought, oh, passwords are not in here, so I need that. Who do I want to call? That's it there. You know, I mean, so there's lots of things that
I need to do that. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that. I know, right? Getting ideas.
Well, see, you're still so young. You know, you didn't think about these things. See, I thought about them over a long period of time and lots of clients who had not done it.
I'm sure that's true.
So that was there. So are there things that you look back and you think, I am really glad that this was included in my life, that this is something I got to do?
Mm. Wow. I think, you know, it's so funny that you ask that because I had a mental list. I am a list maker, as you know.
As I know.
I like my ducks in a row, in a beautifully defined row, you know. And I had a list of things that I thought, if I don't get to do these things, I will be very, very sad at the end of my life. And it was get married, have kids, get a teaching job, and have that teaching job, you know, like to be able to retire at a golden time.
You retired very suddenly.
I retired very suddenly.
Yeah.
So I'm 3 for 4, actually, you know. And that fourth one was, that was okay. So I felt like there were a lot of things that I still wanted to do, certainly, you know. But the biggies, the ones that meant the most to me, in terms of life experiences, I had already done. One of the things, though, now that means the most to me is being able to glorify God through this journey, which had not occurred to me in terms of, you know, things that you would like to accomplish. And that has become very much in the forefront, is who can I talk to? Who can I listen to? It's interesting because when you are dealing with a serious illness or aging, you know, either one, you have days where you don't feel great. I have days where I stay in bed, you know? And so I pulled back from volunteering that I was doing at church. And I had to retire pretty quickly from school because I just didn't have the ability to come in consistently.
You got Teacher of the Year, by the way, something like that, didn't you?
I did, yes. I was one of them. Yeah, there were three. So, you know, I felt like all of the things that made me useful, you know, even helping to care for my husband, because he requires some care, and helping my kids with, you know, adult children still need a lot of guidance,
yeah.
I guess, you know? So all of that, I felt like I am not able to do that anymore the way I wanted to. And a couple of months ago, I was reading an article in Alliance Life, which is a magazine for our denomination. And the author was talking about Isaiah saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I would love to tell you where in Isaiah this is. I don't remember. Just take my word for it. It's in Isaiah. So
know the book, not
I'm terrible, terrible about that. And it occurred to me, I mean, I've always heard that verse and thought, you know, send me to Africa, send me to Asia, send me to the hard places. And it occurred to me, or God revealed it to me, what if the hard places are going into the Mall Cancer Center and being open to a conversation? What if, you know, it's my kids need support and they need it from somebody who is going through some stuff? And that really changed my vision of what I'm supposed to be doing. I have no idea how God is going to use this. No idea. But I trust that He will.
And I even think today may be a big part of that.
I hope so.
To be able to, say to people, it's okay. You know, there's a way. There's a way through this. You know, there's a song I love. It's a Catholic song, I think, by John Talbert. And it's like, "Here I am, Lord. Is it I,
yes.
Lord?"
Yes, exactly.
I love that song. I sing it all the time. You know.
And so, you know, it's a matter of looking at those hard places in your life, whatever they may be, whatever you're going through right now, and thinking, you know, are you willing to say to God, "Here I am. Send me willingly into this hard place that, by the way, I'm already in, but change my attitude so that I'm willing to glorify you." And I mean, even early on, a couple of days after I was diagnosed, I sent an email to the people I work with just saying, you know, here's what's going on. And I teach in a public school, so there's not a whole lot of, I don't know, talking about Jesus. We do have, you know, we had a prayer group, but we were pretty quiet.
There is something about end-of-life stuff that it doesn't matter what they think, I'm going to talk about it.
Which is what I did, yes. I mean, and I said, you know, God is sovereign, God is good, I trust him. And it felt good to be able to say that to a group of people that normally I wouldn't really, you know, you can't really lead with that if your email is, "Hey, don't forget to sign up for the PTA luncheon," you know, or whatever. So so I've seen some fruit of it so far.
There is no stronger testimony than being in the situation that you're in and or that I'm in and being able to say, "God is good."
Yes.
"God is strong. God has got me. You know, I'm not alone in this." You know, that he will give me the manna for this moment and every day. And I think the day we decided to do this podcast was less than a couple of weeks after you had had the diagnosis.
Right. Yeah, it was.
Because of your attitude and really, you know, seeing that and saying, you know, we don't know how it's going to be, you know, but I do know that I have a sovereign God who loves me, who's going to give me the manna for every moment. He has for almost 82 years. And, you know, I can trust it for the rest of the time.
Absolutely.
And to really say that is, I mean, I think God uses our experiences. I think it's our training program. It's what he's prepared you to do is to do this.
And yeah.
So it's really a gift. It takes away, as somebody said the other day, you know, fear and faith are two things that we are committed to that we cannot see.
Interesting.
I mean, even though you may see the lion over there, you don't, it's not the lion you're afraid of. It's what you think the lion might do to you.
Right.
You know, it's the fear of what he might do to you.
Right.
And if you have faith, I mean, you can choose which one you thing that you cannot see that you want to believe in.
That's right.
And I choose faith.
I choose faith.
You know, I mean, it's, and it is a choice. It is a choice.
There are moments too that are rough. You know, I don't mean to make it sound like it's always easy peasy. It's not. There's times when I've struggled. I have verses that I've written in a notebook for, you know, I've headings anger and fear and illness and when I feel sick and things like that that I did before I started chemo, actually, knowing that it was going to get, you know, with chemo, the tendency is to feel worse before you feel better.
And I think that is so important to really say, this is not an easy journey. This is scary. I mean, I'm like you. I wake up and I think, oh, dear, what is it going to be like, you know?
Right.
And are people going to be here for me? And am I going to be able to hold my faith? It's easy to say I'm going to have faith. The question then becomes, can I walk it? Can I walk it to the door? Do I know Jesus is going to walk with me to the door and walk me through the door?
Right.
You know, and that I remember there was a physician I was working with one time, and he actually had an alcohol problem and terminal cancer. And his wife said, "I can deal with the cancer. I can't deal with the alcohol. You got to get sober." So he did. And we worked together for a long time. And he did a beautiful job of, he wrote a storybook for his grandchildren. He wrote a legacy statement. He wrote all kinds of stuff. And as he got sicker, he finally came one day in a walk, and he said, I just wanted to say goodbye in person, you know, because, you know, I know that I can't do this anymore. And then he would email me. And the last email I got for him is, he's like, it's okay. You know, I'm walking with him and it's okay.
And I think that's part of that manna for the day.
Yeah.
For the moment. I think if you start to go too far down the rabbit trail, that's when the fear really takes over. But if you look at it and say, Lord, I need manna for today. And if you say at the end of the day, thank you. You gave me, you know, this is the list of all the things that went right today. And you gave me the manna that I needed, and I'm still here.
And I think that's one of the things we can bank on, because, you know, he's given us perfect provision in the past. And even in this, you know, beforehand, he goes before us. Mm-hmm. And I know he did some really fun things for you beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And you didn't know this was coming.
No.
You didn't know what they
no.
were about. But what you did know when this got here, I'm more prepared than I knew I was.
Yes, very true.
And I think that's really a very, you know, interesting thing, because, I mean, God gave us the ability to image in, to imagine. And our imagination is our creation. It's not God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
So we trot off into some future that we made up.
Right.
And then we emotionally react as if it's true.
Right.
And it's like the whole thing is God loves you in the present.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't love you in the future or the past. He's there, but you're not. And he can only love you where you are.
Right. And it's a fine line, because you do need to prep for the future. You can't say, you know, well, I'm not going to write a will because I'm living in the present.
Right.
You know, no. So you need to balance those things out. But I've found that that if I focus on today and what I need for today, that way is peaceful.
Yeah, I think you look at the bigger picture and you do those things like the will. You do those things like, you know, build your death box, but it's, and then you come back and live the present.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, I think that's.
And you can kind of put it away because you've already taken care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it needs to change, you go into it and you do something different. You know,
right.
I mean, it's like, you know, I think, you know, it's really, I mean, I have this thing about live till you don't. I mean, just really do the best you can while you still can.
Right.
You know, and the most you can while you still can. And I watch you do that. And I hope I'm doing that. And I think with aging, you know, there's such a stereotypical thing of people wanting you to die before you die.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yes.
I mean, it's like, so I wanted to just ask you too. Because we've talked about what is helpful. You know, I mean, if there's people out here that we're talking to who have somebody who's dying, or somebody who's old, or some, I mean, we're all dying.
Right.
But how do you, what is helpful and what is not helpful in terms of being with that person? Because you're right. I mean, people tend to back away and not talk about it because they don't know what to say. I know I was worked with a couple who had a child who died, and it took a couple of years for that to happen. And one time I know we mentioned we were going to write a book on 101 things not to say.
Not to say, right.
to somebody who has a dying child.
Right, exactly.
But what are the things that you find helpful, and what are the things that you find not helpful at this point? Because everybody who loves you, you know, wants to know what to do.
I think, you know, if you have, I had mentioned earlier, I have some family members who have really struggled with having any kind of conversation. I think the main thing that I've tried to do is give them grace, because they have not said to me, how do we navigate this? They're just not navigating it. And I think it's probably best for me to act as I normally would, send them texts on their birthdays, you know, check in with them, whatever. I think, too, when people ask, first of all, I think it's important to ask the person, whether it's somebody who's aging or somebody with, you know, an illness, ask them what they need. And if you have an idea, great. You know, I would like to clean out your refrigerator. you know, is that okay? But here's the thing. If they say, no, I do not want you to clean out my refrigerator, you have to say, okay,
this is
and
true.
Walk away, you know, because I think a lot of times people have in their mind, I mean, I've noticed this, very, very helpful people, you know, some of my best friends, very helpful. I'm going to clean out your basement. I'm like, no, no, we're not going to spend 3 weeks downstairs cleaning out my basement. You know, yes, the basement could use a cleaning. No, no, I don't want to do that. It's exhausting. I want to enjoy my time with you. And don't argue. Even if you think they're wrong and you know best, and they would really be incredibly happy if you cleaned the basement. Don't clean the basement. So
it's their basement.
Yeah. And that's because if you're in a situation like we are in, you've already lost a lot of control.
Yeah.
You cannot control how a disease is progressing necessarily. I mean, you can try, but ultimately you can't. You cannot necessarily control how age is progressing. There are people who are 82 who are not nearly in as good a shape as you were in. And there's a little bit of control about that, but, you know, in some cases, not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And so when people feel like they have already lost some control or a lot of control, you need to make sure that you're giving them the ability to say yes or to say no. And I think if you have an idea, state the idea. Because if you go in and you say, what can I do to help? Sometimes that's a little too open-ended, you know? But if it's, hey, I was thinking about doing blah, blah, blah. How's that? My friend Donna makes me chicken potato spinach soup probably about every 2 weeks. She knows I love it. She comes over. She never says, hey, I'm bringing you chicken potato spinach soup. It just appears. I love that, you know? So she knows that that is something that means a lot to me and that makes my life easier because I don't have to make dinner, you know? So
I think that's really, you know, good advice. I think, you know, the assumption that we know what somebody needs is a problem mm-hmm. throughout life.
Yes, it is.
I mean, in different ways. Mm-hmm. It the whole, I think one thing that is sort of not okay with me is I think it's a blessing to grow old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the things that people do is they want you to be young. We have this anti-aging attitude.
Very much.
You know, the whole word anti-aging, we have an anti-fungus material. Mm-hmm. We don't have
right.
anti-youth things. you know, we don't have those things. And so it's really like there's something wrong with growing old.
Right.
You know, and then people want to say, you look young. Well, I earned my years. I earned every gray hair
exactly.
on my head.
Exactly, yes.
You know,
that's
and
exactly
I,
right.
I want to embrace this time. I mm-hmm. mean, it is probably one of the best times of life, you know, because you don't have to worry. You can be eccentric and get away with it.
Right.
You can say no and yes. And I know how to ask for what I need. And I think that's important for people.
Yes, I think it is.
It's important for people who, like me or like you, to be able to say, I need this.
Right.
Well, this is something that would really be nice if you would do it because mm-hmm. people really do want something to do if they don't know what to do.
They don't. And be kind about it, but stick to your guns.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
let me have the final say.
Right.
I need the right of refusal to remain over here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As much as possible. I mean, I think if I get to the point where I can't make my own decisions, then I need to have people around me who love me enough to say, you know what? If you're going to give us a responsibility for your life, you're going to have to give us the authority to make mm-hmm. decisions in your
right.
life because you can't separate authority and responsibility.
Right.
And that's a real big issue in my part, you know, mm-hmm. in the aging part, because so often people want to stay in charge of their life when they aren't capable of doing
right.
that.
Right.
And that's such a heartache for the people who love them.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that's a good point. You know, when I'm saying this, I'm coming from a standpoint of somebody who's still able to make her own decisions.
Right.
The day will probably come when I won't.
And
at
I
that
won't.
Point, you know.
And I just
it looks a little different.
That's the part I'm not sure I can do gracefully. I'm going to need God's help.
Me too.
I'm going to need God's help. When somebody says, give me your car keys, I'm not sure that's going to be kind.
Right.
I want to say, here they are.
Right.
No. So that's going to take extra grace for me.
Right. Me too.
To be able to surrender that feeling of autonomy and things that go in there. And,
right.
So I guess the only other thing that maybe to think about is what advice would you like to give people in terms of legacy, leaving behind?
Ooh. Wow.
I didn't mean to hit you with all these things that spontaneously, but that's the way we do it around here.
You know what? I think what I would like to be somebody where people looked back and said, she relied on God. She served God. I regret not doing that better earlier in my life. And trying to kind of straddle both decks with worldliness and Christianity. And, I don't have to tell you that that never works out. And I have a lot of regrets for missed opportunities, things like that. So I think at this point, that's what I would like my legacy to be, would be that that God came first and that I was able to listen to his words and support other people that needed, that kind of support. So it's an interesting question, though, because there's all of these other little, I want my kids to feel loved. I want, I want to feel like I accomplished something at work, that kind
you
of thing.
Left a footprint somewhere.
I want to feel like I left a footprint somewhere.
Yeah.
But I actually just finished doing a Bible study called Heaven by Jennifer Rothschild. And I was doing it because heaven is a fantastic idea, but a little bit overwhelming when you're going to get there sooner than you expected. And so I really kind of wanted to, to study a little bit about exactly, what does heaven look like? And it was a great, great Bible study. I highly recommend it to anybody, but especially to people who are maybe going through a time when you have a relative who's aging or relative who's sick, somebody who has just passed away, because it gives you a lot of really good biblical information, and it separates it out from, things that we see on TV that we kind of say, oh yeah, that must be true, but it's really not in the Bible. And it was a 6-week study, and at the end of each week, she had dash days. And the dash days were where you would write down legacy ideas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of cool to go back and think about, what is that going to look like? And our pastor Jonathan has preached on that as well.
Yeah. You were living in the dash.
Living in the dash.
Born this day, dash.
Right.
We don't know the other. My brother has his church has something that I've never seen before. It's called a memory garden, and it's there's a big monument in the middle, and then around it there's a green grass area. It's not that big, and the people put their names on there, and it's like a common tombstone, and then ashes are spread in the memory garden.
Interesting.
So it is truly the body of Christ.
It is truly
the body of Christ. And one of the so my brother's gonna, his wife died a few years ago, and she's in there, and so he's gonna be in there, and he wanted to get his name put on there before, because it would be the last one on that side of the monument.
Got it.
And so he's in the dash,
Yeah.
It's really, I think about that every time I see it. It's like, Rob, you're living in the dash.
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like? I think for me, it's a similar kind of a thing, but also that there's always a way back, that there's no place we can ever be or nothing we can ever do that can remove us from the love and the grace of God.
Yes.
If we seek it, he hasn't gone anywhere.
Yes.
We often have.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, my life was so mixed up early on, and I thought I had outrun God's grace, and that there was that he couldn't, I couldn't be redeemed, I couldn't be restored fully. Mm-hmm. You know, I would always be a project or something mm-hmm. for somebody. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
I hate it when people treat people like projects, but it's but to really drive home that God's love is all encompassing and it will never leave you. It will never, God will never leave you. You can mm-hmm. leave him, but he will not leave you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always ready for the prodigal to come home. He's always got his arms open for the prodigal to come home. And to know the comfort of that, because we are, every person's going to need to have something beyond this life. I think
yes.
one of the life lessons I've learned in growing older is I'm living much more out of my spiritual life mm-hmm. than I am my experiential life. You know, it's like
yep.
being in the eye of the storm and all of the experiences go around, but our soul doesn't age. Our soul is timeless. It doesn't mm-hmm. it doesn't get old. It's the same person that looked at me as a 4-year-old looks at me as an 82-year-old.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, that place is always has peace, always is loved, never is alone, you know, and to really be able to say there's a way back. No matter where you've been, there's a way back. No matter what you're going through, there's a way through.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're both in the way through now, but I think we're both convinced because of the perfect provision of the past
yes.
to really trust the provision in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard, and there are moments where it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
If we let ourselves get out of the presence of God, which is always the present,
right?
You know, then it is terrifying. But if we can manage to stay there most of the time, it's doable.
And I think too, when you're praying, that's a good starting point. You know, a lot of times when we're praying, we start with stuff we need, things that are going on with other people. But if we start with the goodness of God, the provision of God, the fact that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, if you start there, then that's your reminder as you're going through prayer, you know, that it's not just like, you know, Santa Claus and you're doing a wish list there. It's a real conversation.
He is not a giant vending machine.
He is not. He is not.
Turns out.
As it turns out, right.
Oh my goodness. Well, I love you dearly.
I love you too.
And I think one of the things about, you know, terminal stuff, whether it's cancer or whether it's age, one of the hardest things is the people who love you are going to miss you. And so I don't know who's going first, but I'm going to miss you if you do.
I'm going to miss you too. But we'll see each other soon. That's the thing.
We'll see
each other
soon. We're just going to take a vacation.
We're going to take a little break.
We'll reconvene in a different way.
That is exactly right. And it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. It's already good.
It's already good.
Yeah. And I do think we have these moments as a precursor to what it's going to be.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. we've never been together where we didn't feel that.
Right.
Yeah.
And where we didn't laugh.
That's right.
We laugh a lot.
We do laugh. So, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this conversation, please like and subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends, and join us on all of our social media channels. Thanks again, and God bless you.